This podcast, Sourcecast, is heavily dependent upon the news. And most of the time, that focus is on technology and the sourcing and purchasing of that technology. But sometimes there is national news that intermingles with the technology news. And basically, there's just a much bigger story. There's a much bigger scope. This is one of those weeks. If you have been watching the news, I'm sure you have seen scenes of families being separated at borders within the United States. When the public is exposed to these types of stories, these types of images, especially when it is the United States government, and it's hard to defend the actions, there tends to be a trickle-down effect to other individuals, groups, and industries. And that is absolutely occurring this week with the tech industry. There are hundreds of employees for major tech companies that have signed letters expressing displeasure with their corporations and their leaders for engaging with the government on certain types of business. It's not just related to what's happening at the borders right now, but there is a common theme and thread that's been occurring over the last 3 months about employees pushing back. And that is the focus of this week's episode. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode 125. Let's start with Microsoft. 2 weeks ago, I published a podcast, Sourcecast episode 123, discussing Microsoft's acquisition of GitHub. And while there was some pushback, they did not get the negative reactions that most people assumed would occur. In fact, several open source organizations actually applauded the deal. So Microsoft was riding high. And then this entire situation at the border started to happen. For Microsoft, the whole story blew up on Monday, as the news that families were being separated made headlines. Social media users discovered a Microsoft blog from January that stated that Microsoft was offering cloud services to the ICE, which is Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and was proud of the work. And again, this was from January. The company went on to say in this blog post that the services could help employees make informed decisions faster, such as enabling them to process data on edge devices or utilize deep learning capabilities to accelerate facial recognition and identification. Once that Microsoft blog post started being shared, over 100 Microsoft employees published an open letter, which was eventually picked up by the New York Times. And here's a main quote from this letter. "We request that Microsoft cancel its contracts with ICE and with other clients who directly enable ICE. As the people who build the technologies that Microsoft profits from, we refuse to be complicit. We are part of a growing movement comprised of many across the industry who recognize the grave responsibility that those creating powerful technology have to ensure what they build is used for good and not for harm." The Microsoft employees' open letter, which eventually was signed by about 300 employees, concludes by stating this: "Acknowledging this responsibility, we request that you, number one, cancel the existing Azure government contract with ICE immediately. Number two, draft, publicize, and enforce a clear policy stating that neither Microsoft nor its contractors will work with clients who violate international human rights laws. Number three, commit to transparency and review regarding contracts between Microsoft and government agencies in the U.S. and beyond." According to a Verge article by Colin Letcher, soon after the letter was published last week, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella released a statement publicly saying that the company's work with ICE was supporting legacy mail, calendar, messaging, and other document management workloads, and that the engagement with any government has been and will be guided by our ethics and principles. According to The Verge, Nadella did not explicitly state that those were the only services provided to the ICE, but added that the company was not involved in programs where children were separated from their families. At the recording of this podcast, Microsoft has not announced that they would discontinue the contracts with the government. But Microsoft is not the only company that's dealing with employees that are displeased with their leadership. As I mentioned earlier, facial recognition software also seems to be a hot-button topic for technology employees. And for the last few weeks on the Source blog, I've been covering Amazon's recognition software and recognition with a K, because of course you have to spell things funny, and the fact that there are employees and civil liberty champions that are appalled by the software that Amazon is developing. Last week, Amazon employees joined Microsoft employees by publicly stating their objection to the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy at the U.S. border. And I quote, "Along with much of the world, we watched in horror as U.S. authorities tore children away from their parents. In the face of this immoral U.S. policy and the United States' increasingly inhumane treatment of refugees and immigrants beyond this specific policy, we are deeply concerned that Amazon is implicated, providing infrastructure and services that enable ICE and DHS. And this open letter, it was distributed on a mailing list called We Won't Build It. I should note that as far as we know, this Amazon recognition software is not being used by the ICE. But what is it being used for? According to a Gizmodo article by Sidney Fussell, and I quote, "Across the country, law enforcement agencies are teaming up with data firms to bring facial recognition to public spaces, including airports, schools, and even protests. Most of these efforts remain clouded in secrecy. But in newly released documents from Oregon officials using Amazon's facial recognition software, offers the clearest look into how cops and their tech partners are massaging the ugly truths of facial recognition, including frequent mismatches, its use on people not even suspected of crimes, and how to sell the public on something so obviously creepy, a task even the police aren't even sure they're up to. Even Amazon stockholders are pushing back on the propagation of this technology due to violations of civil liberties." Amazon and Microsoft employees are not alone in this fight. In fact, the modern originators of pushing back on your employers are Google employees. A few months ago, Google was making headlines due to a government project called Maven. Google was working with the government on artificial intelligence technology that combined with drone footage to give very accurate layouts and descriptions of buildings and cities. Once Google employees caught wind of this particular project, they started pushing back publicly. Google faced real pushback and real consequences due to their decision to move forward with this initiative. Almost a dozen Google artificial intelligence employees resigned as a result of this project. I've discussed this before, that artificial intelligence employees are very hard to come by. Silicon Valley is fighting over these individuals, so for 12 of them to pick up and leave, it's a major problem for Google. Gizmodo covered the resignations via an article by Kate Conger, and I quote, "Some Google employees were outraged that the company would offer resources to the military for surveillance technology involved in drone operations, while others argued that the project raised important ethical questions about the development and use of machine learning. In May, about a dozen Google employees resigned. Several of those employees discussed their decision to leave with Gizmodo, saying that executives have become less transparent with their workforce about controversial business decisions and seem less interested in listening to workers' objections than they once did. In the case of Maven, Google is helping the Defense Department implement machine learning to classify images gathered by drones. But some employees believe humans, not algorithms, should be responsible for the sensitive and potentially lethal work, and that Google should not be involved in military work at all." As a result of these resignations, Google announced that they are not planning to renew their contract, which is set to expire in 2019. This contract, which was only worth about $9 million, had the potential to balloon into a $250 million contract. Google Cloud CEO Diane Greene expressly stated that Google chose not to proceed with this contract because of the public backlash, which is something that they were concerned about in leaked documents when they initially signed the contract. As a result of this entire situation, Google also plans to unveil new ethical principles about its use of AI shortly. So here are three of the biggest companies on the planet, all facing internal strife because employees are pushing back about their business decisions, specifically business decisions with government work. In areas like technology, where staffing and subject matter expertise is in short supply, the employees have a voice, and they are using that voice. But because of these experiences, will the corporations find a way to be able to maneuver around the employees and maintain their ability to gain government work? With the advent of artificial intelligence, will we reach a point where the need for employees who do critical coding will be lessened thanks to automation and artificial intelligence? And will leadership, because of these specific experiences, push that technology sooner to lessen the voices and opinions of their employees? You can always count on me to take it to the most Machiavellian thought. Regardless of potential future technology that will potentially replace or lessen human workers, at the moment, the human workers have an advantage. According to TheStreet.com's Annie Gauss, and I quote, "The impact for companies is very real. Google had hoped to parlay the Maven project into a more lucrative military deal, which could be worth hundreds of millions or even billions of dollars. But in a fiercely competitive market for tech workers, particularly in the burgeoning fields of artificial intelligence, companies are compelled to pay attention or risk potentially alienating a vital talent pipeline. All of the power is on the supply side now," says tech recruitment specialist Jeremy Scheffling. Employees feel emboldened to speak out, and engineers can go where the applications are the most appealing and most palatable. So let's take this information in a week where the news has not been joyous. Regardless of what side of the political spectrum you fall on, no one can celebrate families being ripped apart at borders. And in some small way, seeing that individuals can group together, get behind a cause, and actually get a large organization like Google to change their policy, well, that's not nothing. And if you want to do or learn more about what is happening at the borders, you can go to theactionnetwork.org, and you can even donate to the Refugee and Immigration Center for Education and Legal Services, RACES, which is a 501c3 nonprofit that promotes justice by providing free and low-cost legal services to underserved immigrant children and refugees in Central and South Texas. All right, that's all I got this week. Be good.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.